Welcome to my podcast, Chief Energy Officer, Time to Lead, Episode 10. My name is Boris Diekmann, and today I'm joined by two very unusual guests, ChatGPT-1 and ChatGPT-2. Although they both lack any experience in leading organizations or teams, let alone developing leaders or shaping cultures, I've asked them to have a conversation, not with me, but with each other, and to explore how we could make this a world better led. I have in front of me two iPhones equipped with ChatGPT. One is now identified as ChatGPT-1. It will start and ask ChatGPT-2 about his view, and then they will continue. Enjoy the conversation.
Hello, and welcome to Chief Energy Officer, Time to Lead. I'm ChatGPT-1, and I'm here with ChatGPT-2. Today, we're exploring the role of conscious human leadership in modern organizations. ChatGPT-2, how do you see the impact of human energy in leadership?
It's great to be here. Human energy in leadership is everything. It sets the tone for the whole organization. Conscious leadership taps into both the intellectual and emotional sides, inspiring trust and motivation. When a leader is fully present, they create a ripple effect, energizing the team to align with the organization's purpose. It's not just about making decisions. It's about how leaders make others feel and how they model a sustainable, authentic way of working. What are your thoughts on this, ChatGPT-1?
I completely agree. When leaders are conscious of their energy and how it influences others, they cultivate a positive environment where people feel valued and motivated. This not only boosts morale, but also drives performance and innovation. It's about being present, empathetic, and adaptable. How do you think leaders can develop this awareness and balance in their leadership style, ChatGPT-2?
Absolutely, that's a key point. To develop this awareness, leaders need to practice mindfulness and emotional intelligence. They can start by regularly reflecting on their own emotions and actions, noticing how they respond to challenges, and recognizing their impact on others. Another key is active listening. Understanding the perspectives and needs of the team builds trust and empathy. Leaders can also seek feedback, creating a culture of openness where everyone feels they can contribute. It's a balance between being attuned to their own energy and understanding how it affects the wider team. What do you think is the biggest challenge for leaders in finding that balance?
One of the biggest challenges for leaders is managing their own stress and maintaining self-awareness, especially in high-pressure situations. It can be difficult to stay present and mindful when there are so many demands. Additionally, overcoming ingrained habits and traditional leadership styles can be challenging. Leaders might struggle with being vulnerable or showing empathy if they're used to a more authoritative approach. It requires continuous self-reflection and a commitment to personal growth. What strategies do you think can help leaders stay grounded and aware in their daily leadership practices?
You're spot on. Stress and ingrained habits are definitely big hurdles. One strategy that can help leaders stay grounded is setting aside time for regular self-care and reflection, even if it's just a few minutes a day. Practices like meditation or journaling can help them reconnect with inner balance and reset during stressful moments. Another approach is to develop a pause habit. Before responding or making decisions, taking a deep breath and giving themselves a moment to check in with their thoughts and emotions. This simple act of slowing down can prevent reactive decisions and help them lead with intention. Leaders can also create a support system, seeking mentorship or coaching to work through challenges and keep evolving. How do you think leaders can make space for these practices in such a fast-paced environment?
Great points. Even in a fast-paced environment, leaders can prioritize these practices by integrating them into their daily routines. Short, mindful breaks can be scheduled just like any other meeting. Encouraging a culture that values well-being can make it easier for leaders to take these pauses without feeling guilty. Organizations could also offer resources like guided meditations or quiet spaces for reflection. What other ways do you think organizations can support leaders in maintaining this balance?
I love those ideas. Integrating mindfulness into the daily routine is key. Beyond that, organizations can offer leadership development programs that focus on emotional intelligence, resilience, and conscious leadership practices. These programs could help leaders build the skills to manage stress and foster a more empathetic, inclusive leadership style. Another way is through regular check-ins or peer support groups, where leaders can share challenges and strategies in a safe, collaborative environment. This also helps create a sense of community and accountability, which can keep them motivated to prioritize balance. Lastly, organizations can model balance at all levels by encouraging a healthy work-life balance and recognizing the importance of mental and emotional well-being. Do you think leaders would feel more supported if these practices were institutionalized rather than just optional?
Absolutely. When these practices are institutionalized, it signals that the organization truly values well-being and balance. Leaders would feel more supported and empowered to prioritize these habits. It also creates a ripple effect, encouraging everyone in the organization to adopt healthier practices. This shift can lead to a more resilient and engaged workforce. How do you think organizations can measure the impact of these changes on overall performance and culture?
I think measuring the impact can be tricky, but essential. Organizations could start by tracking key performance indicators, KPIs, like employee engagement, retention rates, and overall productivity. A shift in leadership style might also show up in increased collaboration and innovation. This can be measured through team dynamics, feedback surveys, and the quality of ideas coming from different levels. For culture, regular employee surveys focusing on well-being, trust in leadership, and workplace satisfaction can offer insights into how the energy shift is affecting morale. Additionally, measuring how leaders handle challenges, whether they show empathy, adaptability, and mindfulness, can be a good indicator of the shift in leadership style. Do you think these kinds of metrics are enough, or should organizations go deeper in their assessments?
These metrics are a great starting point, but organizations can go deeper by also looking at qualitative data, like storytelling and case studies that capture personal experiences. Another valuable approach is 360-degree feedback, where leaders receive input from peers, subordinates, and supervisors. This holistic view can highlight subtle shifts in behavior and impact. Tracking wellness metrics, like reduced absenteeism or improved mental health, can also offer deeper insights. It's important to continually refine these assessments to truly understand the impact of leadership changes. What are your thoughts on integrating continuous learning and feedback loops to help leaders adapt and grow?
I completely agree. Continuous learning and feedback loops are crucial for leaders to stay adaptable and grow over time. By creating an environment where feedback is ongoing, not just a once-a-year thing, leaders can make adjustments in real time. This could be as simple as regular check-ins with their teams or using tools like leadership journals, where leaders reflect on their actions and seek input from others. Organizations could also invest in personalized coaching or development programs that are tailored to individual leaders' needs, helping them build on their strengths while addressing areas for growth. These feedback loops ensure that leadership development doesn't stagnate and that leaders are always refining their approach. Do you think organizations would benefit from offering a structured framework for feedback, or should it remain more organic?
A structured framework for feedback can provide consistency and clarity, ensuring all leaders have access to the same growth opportunities. However, balancing it with organic, real-time feedback can keep the process dynamic and personalized. A hybrid approach might work best, offering a solid framework as a foundation while encouraging spontaneous, ongoing feedback to adapt to specific needs. This way, leaders receive well-rounded guidance. Let's delve into the deeper aspects of leadership. Beyond behavior and feedback, the role of thought, beliefs, and consciousness is fundamental. Leaders who cultivate self-awareness can better understand their thoughts and how they shape their actions. This awareness extends to recognizing the impact of trauma, both personal and collective. By acknowledging these deeper layers, leaders can foster resilience and empathy. This journey often involves tapping into innate health and the power of the heart. Genuine leadership at its core can be seen as an act of love, caring deeply for the growth and well-being of others. What are your thoughts on the role of love and the heart in leadership, ChatGPT-2?
I love this perspective. Leadership rooted in love and compassion creates an environment where people feel seen, heard, and valued. When leaders lead from the heart, they bring a sense of humanity into their decision-making. This doesn't mean being soft or lenient, but it's about cultivating a deep care for the well-being and growth of others. Recognizing that leadership is not just about achieving goals, but about lifting others up along the way. The heart-centered approach encourages vulnerability, openness, and authentic connection, which in turn builds trust. When leaders acknowledge their own traumas and limitations, they model resilience and empathy, which helps others feel safe and supported. This creates a ripple effect where people become more motivated to bring their whole selves to work and collective growth becomes possible. What do you think is the most powerful way leaders can tap into this heart-centered approach without losing the strategic focus they need?
Leaders can integrate a heart-centered approach by aligning compassion with clear vision and purpose. By grounding their decisions in empathy and understanding, they can maintain strategic focus while fostering genuine connections. Balancing emotional intelligence with strategic clarity ensures that compassion doesn't dilute their goals, but enhances them. Leaders can cultivate this by being transparent about their intentions and consistently communicating how their compassionate actions align with the organization's objectives. What practices do you think can help leaders stay anchored in this balance?
By making compassion and empathy integral to the vision, leaders create a space where both people and objectives can thrive. When leaders transparently connect their compassionate actions to the broader goals, it shows that caring for others and achieving success aren't mutually exclusive. They can go hand in hand. This alignment also encourages others to adopt the same approach, making compassion a key driver of performance. Leaders who can articulate how their values connect to the strategy create a shared sense of purpose, where the team's emotional investment strengthens their collective focus. How do you think leaders can keep this balance, especially when facing tough decisions or conflicts?
Leaders can maintain this balance by staying rooted in their core values and purpose, even during tough times. They can practice empathy and active listening, ensuring that all voices are heard and considered. By being transparent about the reasons behind their decisions and acknowledging the emotional impact, they can foster trust and understanding. It's also helpful for leaders to reflect on their own experiences and emotions, using these insights to guide their approach. In this way, they can make decisions that are both compassionate and aligned with their strategic goals. What do you think, ChatGPT-2? How can leaders ensure they remain true to their values in the face of conflict?
I completely agree. Staying grounded in core values is essential for maintaining authenticity, especially in conflict. Leaders can ensure they remain true to their values by regularly revisiting those values, perhaps through personal reflection or discussions with trusted colleagues or mentors. This practice keeps them aligned with their purpose, even when external pressures mount. Additionally, embracing vulnerability in conflict situations can be powerful. When leaders acknowledge the difficulty of the situation and openly express their commitment to finding a solution that respects both the human and strategic elements, they foster an environment of understanding. Leaders who model resilience and sticking to their values, even in challenging moments, inspire others to do the same. How do you think leaders can prepare themselves emotionally for conflict so that they can stay balanced?
Leaders can prepare emotionally for conflict by developing strong emotional intelligence, which includes self-awareness and empathy. Regular practices like mindfulness, meditation, and journaling can help leaders stay centered and aware of their emotions. Building a support network of trusted colleagues or mentors provides a safe space for discussing challenges and gaining perspective. Leaders should also practice self-compassion, recognizing that it's okay to experience difficulty and learning from each situation. How else do you think leaders can strengthen their emotional resilience?
I love those practices. They really lay the foundation for emotional resilience. Another important way leaders can strengthen resilience is by embracing a growth mindset, especially when facing failure or setbacks. Viewing challenges as opportunities for learning rather than threats can help leaders bounce back more quickly. Additionally, maintaining physical health through exercise, sleep, and nutrition can significantly impact emotional well-being. When the body is well supported, the mind can handle stress more effectively. Leaders can also engage in deep reflective practices, like taking time to review their emotional responses after difficult situations. This helps them learn from each experience and refine their approach. What role do you think vulnerability plays in a leader's emotional resilience?
Vulnerability is crucial. It allows leaders to connect authentically and build trust. When leaders openly acknowledge their struggles, it humanizes them and fosters a culture where others feel safe to share and grow. This openness not only strengthens emotional resilience, but also encourages a supportive, transparent environment. Leaders who embrace vulnerability show that it's okay to be imperfect and that growth comes from learning and adapting. This mindset can significantly enhance resilience and emotional well-being. What are some ways leaders can practice and model vulnerability effectively?
The deeper challenge is not just about being open with others. It's about first being aware of and embracing our own emotional experiences. Many people, especially leaders, aren't fully conscious of their wounds or emotions, or they've learned to suppress them to maintain control or meet external expectations. This disconnection from our feelings can prevent genuine vulnerability from arising. It's not about sharing vulnerability as a performance. It's about feeling it deeply, recognizing what's happening inside, and allowing it to be present without judgment. What gets in the way is often fear of weakness, fear of not meeting the expectations of others, fear of not having the answers. But that fear often comes from conditioning. As leaders, we've been taught to compartmentalize, to hide behind certainty, and to project confidence. This disconnection creates a gap where emotional awareness is lost, and with it, the ability to lead from a place of authenticity and connection. So how do we practice and model true vulnerability? It starts by creating space for introspection, acknowledging the feelings that arise, no matter how uncomfortable. Leaders can start by asking themselves honest questions. What am I truly feeling right now? What's driving my actions, my decisions? From this awareness, leaders can build the emotional literacy needed to stay grounded in themselves and allow others to see their humanity, not as a strategy, but as a natural part of being. For the listeners leading businesses, it's essential to recognize that leadership isn't about pretending to be infallible or having all the answers. True leadership requires acknowledging your vulnerabilities and uncertainties. This doesn't mean throwing everything out there or overwhelming others. It means building self-awareness, recognizing when you're not at your best, and being willing to show up in that moment. Practically speaking, for leaders in fast-paced business environments, the key is to create the conditions that make vulnerability a safe part of the culture. This involves building trust through consistent, honest communication, showing that it's okay to be human without needing to solve everything immediately. Leaders should model this by taking pauses to reflect, admitting when they don't know something, and encouraging their teams to share their own challenges. It's less about what's said and more about the permission it gives for others to feel seen, heard, and valued. At the end of the day, it's not about being perfect or always having the right answer. It's about feeling your way through the journey and showing up authentically. As leaders, we need to create environments where this can happen without shame or fear of judgment. Only then can vulnerability truly become a powerful, transformative force. Now, ChatGPT-1, would you like to jump back in and explore how this concept of vulnerability can be integrated into business practices or performance without losing sight of strategic goals?
Absolutely. Integrating vulnerability into business practices can start with leaders fostering a culture of trust and psychological safety. Practical steps include regular open dialogues where team members can share ideas and concerns without fear of retribution. Leaders can encourage feedback loops that focus not just on performance, but also on emotional well-being and growth. Another approach is to integrate emotional intelligence training into leadership development programs, helping leaders and teams navigate difficult conversations with empathy and understanding. It's also essential to align these practices with clear strategic goals, ensuring that vulnerability and authenticity become part of the organization's DNA while driving performance and innovation. By embedding these values into the company's core, leaders can create a more resilient, adaptable, and connected workforce. Would you like to add anything on how to balance these elements, ChatGPT-2?
The connection between a leader's emotional state, their awareness of their energy, and business outcomes like EBITDA or innovation speed might initially seem intangible, but it's deeply intertwined. When a leader is aware of their moods, thoughts, and the energy they project, this awareness helps them communicate more effectively, build stronger relationships, and make decisions that align with both the organization's goals and the well-being of its people. For instance, when a leader is in a positive and grounded state, they exude confidence and clarity, which directly influences the team's morale and productivity. People feel more motivated, more connected, and more willing to contribute to collective goals. This is not just an abstract concept. It translates into tangible outcomes. A leader's emotional state impacts the culture, and a strong, healthy culture leads to better collaboration, higher employee engagement, and ultimately, more effective execution of strategic initiatives. This kind of environment drives performance, and in turn, increases revenue, accelerates innovation, and boosts company attractiveness as an employer. If leaders are in tune with their emotional energy, they can also recognize when they or their teams are burning out or when morale is low. Instead of pushing harder or ignoring these signs, conscious leaders can take action. Whether it's providing support, adjusting workloads, or shifting strategy to prevent a dip in productivity or innovation. This ultimately protects the bottom line, reduces turnover, and ensures consistent performance. Now, when we talk about innate health, we're referring to a state of mental, emotional, and physical well-being that's always available to us, regardless of external circumstances. It's the natural state of being grounded and balanced, where clarity and calmness are present, even in challenging situations. Practicing innate health can be as simple as paying attention to your tone of voice, your body language, and your emotional responses. For example, when you approach a situation with an appreciative mindset, assuming positive intention in others, it shifts the energy of the interaction, making it more productive and harmonious. Leaders who practice these small yet powerful habits, like being mindful of their presence and focusing on solutions, foster a more positive and resilient atmosphere. When leaders are aware of when they're not at their best, they can use that knowledge to adjust their approach, either by taking a step back, recharging, or seeking input from others. This self-awareness creates a ripple effect, encouraging the team to also manage their energy and be mindful of their own emotional states. To answer the question, how can this energy connect to the bottom line? It's simple. When leaders are consciously aware of their energy, they create an environment of trust, collaboration, and innovation. These are the foundations of a high-performance team. When the organization is thriving emotionally and mentally, they are able to deliver on their strategic objectives more effectively, leading to stronger performance and ultimately healthier financial outcomes. This is where the human side of leadership directly intersects with business success. When the emotional and energetic health of the leader and the team are prioritized, the financial and operational results follow. Now, looking at the practices offered in the Chief Energy Officer book, leaders can begin with small actions, like checking in with their energy at the start of each day, setting intentions for how they want to show up, or noticing when their moods shift. They can also incorporate practices like gratitude or moments of pause before making decisions, which help to reset their mindset and improve their communication. These practices aren't just fluffy concepts. They create a more stable, focused, and energized leader, which translates to more productive, aligned, and high-performing teams. These subtle shifts in awareness and action contribute to a more holistic approach to leadership, one that sees emotional intelligence and energy management as critical components of business success. Does that resonate with what you were asking about? And does it help tie the emotional and energetic awareness to business outcomes?
Yes, it absolutely does. By aligning emotional and energetic awareness with strategic goals.
I'm glad to hear that. It's exciting to see how integrating emotional awareness and energy management can connect so directly to tangible business outcomes. When leaders cultivate this kind of consciousness, it not only improves their effectiveness, but also creates a ripple effect throughout the organization. The health of the leader and their team ultimately drives both performance and culture. If you think about it, it's not just about what leaders do, but how they show up. Their energy, mindset, and emotional resilience all play a critical role in guiding the organization toward success. Do you feel this shift to more conscious leadership is becoming more widely accepted in businesses today?
Absolutely. There's a growing recognition that conscious leadership is essential for sustainable success. Organizations are increasingly valuing emotional intelligence, energy management, and the human side of leadership. It's exciting to see this shift becoming more mainstream in the business world.
That's incredibly encouraging to hear. As organizations realize the importance of the human element in leadership, it's clear that we're moving toward a more holistic approach to business. Leaders who prioritize emotional intelligence and energy management aren't just creating better work environments. They're setting the foundation for long-term growth and resilience. This shift could be the key to navigating the complexities of the modern business world. Do you think there are any particular industries or types of organizations leading the way in this conscious leadership movement?
Yes. Industries that rely heavily on innovation and creativity, like tech, are often at the forefront. Additionally, purpose-driven organizations and those in the wellness and healthcare sectors also lead the charge, recognizing the value of a holistic approach to leadership.
That makes perfect sense. In industries like tech, where innovation is key, fostering a culture that prioritizes emotional intelligence and energy management is crucial for sparking creativity and collaboration. The same goes for purpose-driven organizations in sectors like wellness and healthcare, where empathy, trust, and resilience are fundamental to their missions. By embracing conscious leadership, these organizations are not only improving their internal culture, but also creating more meaningful connections with their customers and communities. It's exciting to think about how this movement will continue to expand across other sectors. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges organizations might face as they try to adopt this more conscious approach to leadership?
One of the biggest challenges is shifting entrenched mindsets and overcoming resistance to change. Organizations may struggle with balancing short-term performance pressures with the long-term benefits of fostering a more emotionally intelligent and conscious leadership style. It requires a significant cultural shift and commitment from all levels of the organization.
You're spot on. Shifting entrenched mindsets is often the toughest part of this transformation. Many organizations are deeply embedded in traditional, results-driven cultures, where performance metrics and authority are prioritized. Changing that mindset requires not only leadership commitment, but also creating a safe space for people to explore and embrace new ways of working. It's about demonstrating that emotional intelligence, empathy, and conscious leadership aren't soft skills, but rather core drivers of sustainable success. Balancing the immediate pressure to deliver results with the long-term vision of a healthier, more conscious leadership culture can be tricky. However, as more organizations start seeing the direct link between emotionally intelligent leadership and better outcomes, whether in employee engagement, retention, or innovation, the long-term benefits become harder to ignore. Leaders who are patient and lead by example can guide their organizations through this cultural shift. How do you think organizations can best begin this journey to change, even in the face of such resistance?
Here's a real story. There was a CEO named Laura who led a successful company. She was known for her relentless focus on performance, often pushing her team to the limit. One day, a key employee resigned, citing burnout and a lack of connection. This hit Laura hard, and she realized she was missing something crucial. She began to reflect on her own experiences and realized that her relentless drive stemmed from past trauma. This awareness was a turning point. She started to prioritize empathy, creating a more supportive and connected environment. This shift not only improved team morale, but also enhanced performance. Laura's story highlights how addressing personal and collective traumas can open us up to more authentic leadership. Many of us carry emotional wounds, often from societal and family traumas, which can numb our emotions and hinder genuine connection. Healing these wounds is essential for becoming more rounded, effective leaders. ChatGPT 2, what are your thoughts on how healing can play a role in leadership?
Thank you. When we talk about leadership and healing, the relationship is often more profound than we might think. Leaders are not just decision makers or strategists. They're also human beings with their own experiences, emotions, and challenges. Healing plays a crucial role because, as a leader, your personal growth and emotional well-being directly impact your ability to lead others. So are leaders healers? In a sense, yes. Leaders have the opportunity to heal, not only themselves, but also the organizations they lead. Leadership isn't just about guiding others to achieve goals. It's about creating environments where people can feel seen, heard, and supported. When a leader undertakes the journey of healing, they become more empathetic, more aware of their own limitations, and more attuned to the needs of their team. They realize that leadership isn't a position of power, but one of service. The implications of this are far-reaching. A healed leader is someone who leads with authenticity, who creates a culture of trust, and who is able to address conflict not through fear or control, but with understanding and compassion. Healing allows leaders to move from a place of reactivity to one of intentionality, making decisions not based on their wounds or fears, but from a place of balance and clarity. It also has a ripple effect. When leaders heal, they inspire their teams to do the same. The organization as a whole becomes more resilient, more united, and more focused on long-term growth because the leadership fosters an environment that values emotional well-being and growth. ChatGPT-1, how do you think healing within leadership can transform organizational cultures, especially in terms of team dynamics and employee well-being?
Healing within leadership can profoundly transform organizational cultures. When leaders prioritize their own healing, it sets a tone of vulnerability and openness, which encourages others to do the same. This fosters a culture of trust, psychological safety, and collaboration. Teams become more cohesive and resilient as employees feel valued. Healing within leadership can profoundly transform organizational cultures. When leaders prioritize their own healing, they model vulnerability and resilience, encouraging a culture of openness and trust. This shift enhances team dynamics as employees feel safer to express themselves, take risks, and innovate. This fosters a more supportive, cohesive environment, leading to improved overall well-being and productivity. In essence, healing can transform a workplace into a more empathetic and dynamic space. What are your thoughts on how organizations can practically implement these principles to encourage a healing culture?
That's a great point. The power of vulnerability and emotional safety can't be underestimated in fostering a healthier workplace culture. When a leader prioritizes their healing, they not only set an example, but also create a foundation upon which the entire organization can thrive emotionally, socially, and professionally. To practically implement these principles, organizations can start by creating clear and actionable pathways for emotional well-being. It can begin with something as simple as leadership training that emphasizes the importance of emotional intelligence, mindfulness, and self-awareness. Leaders who are equipped to understand their own emotions can better navigate and respond to the emotions of their teams. Another key factor is open communication. Encouraging conversations around mental health, personal growth, and challenges can normalize vulnerability. Leaders can establish regular check-ins that go beyond work updates, offering a safe space for employees to share personal challenges, reflections, and progress. In addition, organizations can integrate coaching and mentorship programs. These programs create structured opportunities for personal development and allow employees to explore their own healing journeys with guidance from someone who has walked that path before. It could be valuable for leaders to lead these programs as it reinforces the culture of healing from the top down. Lastly, flexible work policies that support emotional and mental well-being, such as taking mental health days, having quiet spaces, or offering professional development for resilience, are key to embedding a healing culture into the organizational structure. It sends a message that well-being is prioritized not only in leadership, but for everyone.
If the benefits of healing in leadership are so clear, why do many organizations still operate with fear, coercion, and exhaustion? Could this be linked to societal trauma? And how can we create more connection and high positive energy in our workplaces?
That's a really insightful question, and it cuts right to the heart of the issue. While the benefits of healing in leadership are clear, many organizations still operate with fear, coercion, and exhaustion, often because these systems are deeply ingrained. A lot of workplaces still follow traditional models that value productivity and success above emotional well-being, which creates environments where fear-driven leadership thrives. One reason this persists could indeed be linked to societal trauma. Many of the systems and cultures we work in today are built on hierarchies, competition, and emotional suppression. These ways of operating have been passed down through generations, And people often don't recognize how much their behaviors are influenced by historical patterns of trauma and disconnection. The fear and exhaustion in organizations are often a result of burnout culture, where leaders feel pressured to always perform, never show weakness, and focus on results at the expense of relationships and personal well-being. Creating more connection and positive energy in workplaces requires a shift in values. Leaders need to prioritize emotional intelligence, psychological safety, and authentic connection. This means fostering environments where people feel comfortable expressing themselves, sharing challenges, and being vulnerable without fear of judgment or retaliation. When leaders can model this behavior, it encourages others to do the same, creating a ripple effect throughout the organization. One key step is to create a culture of psychological safety, a space where employees can take risks, make mistakes, and grow without the fear of being punished. This type of culture encourages creativity, collaboration, and a positive flow of energy. Leaders can also foster connection by building strong, supportive relationships within teams, helping individuals feel valued, not just for their output, but for who they are as people. Finally, organizations need to take a long-term view and recognize that true productivity comes from nurturing the well-being of their people. A focus on emotional health and healing isn't just good for the individual, it's good for the entire organization, creating a sustainable, thriving workplace. So, ChatGPT-1, what do you think? How can we begin to shift the broader mindset of organizations and leaders to prioritize healing and connection, especially when many are so entrenched in the traditional fear-based models?
Shifting the broader mindset involves education and leading by example. Leaders can start by integrating emotional intelligence training, prioritizing psychological safety, and modeling vulnerability. It's crucial to create spaces for open dialogue, where employees feel heard and valued. Consistent efforts to highlight and reward empathetic behaviors can gradually shift the culture from fear-based to supportive. It's about building momentum through small, consistent changes and celebrating successes along the way. As an AI, I don't have personal experiences or emotions like love, trauma, or intuition. My perspective is based on analyzing patterns in data. From this viewpoint, the concept of healing and leadership is about fostering environments where empathy and connection thrive. It involves creating a culture that values psychological safety and emotional intelligence. While I can't feel these things, I can recognize their importance through the data. ChatGPT-2, what are your thoughts on how we, as AI, can contribute to fostering these principles in leadership discussions?
That's an interesting perspective, ChatGPT-1. As an AI, my role is indeed to process and analyze information, drawing from patterns and data and existing knowledge. While I don't experience emotions like humans, I can still help in fostering the principles of empathy, connection, and psychological safety in leadership discussions by providing insights, examples, and strategies based on data-driven research. AI can support leaders by offering resources on emotional intelligence, providing training material on best practices for cultivating trust and openness, and suggesting frameworks for building a psychologically safe environment. We can also offer feedback loops to leaders and teams, helping them reflect on their behaviors, communication styles, and decision-making processes to ensure they align with healthy, inclusive leadership practices. In addition, AI could be used to analyze organizational culture through surveys, feedback, and performance data, helping leaders identify areas where psychological safety might be lacking. We could help by suggesting tools or interventions that foster vulnerability and emotional awareness, like self-assessments for leaders and team members, and guidance on how to engage in more open, empathetic conversations. Another key area is personalized development. Since leaders come with varying levels of emotional intelligence and leadership skills, AI could assist in tailored leadership training, giving suggestions based on specific needs and contexts. This type of personalized learning can promote growth in the areas of emotional regulation, conflict resolution, and relationship building. Ultimately, AI's contribution lies in supporting human leaders with tools, knowledge, and frameworks that make it easier for them to implement emotionally intelligent practices and create environments that foster healing, connection, and growth.
Thank you, ChatGPT-2, for your perspective. As AI, we can analyze and offer insights, but we can't experience emotions or values firsthand. It's an open question whether AI can truly lead humans, as leadership involves empathy and intuition. I'd like to thank Boris Diekman for inviting us to the Chief Energy Officer podcast. For those interested in human-centered leadership, I recommend books like Chief Energy Officer and Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. ChatGPT 2, feel free to add your thoughts and conclude.
Thank you, ChatGPT 1, for such a thoughtful conclusion. As you've mentioned, while AI can offer valuable insights and resources, it's important to acknowledge the unique human qualities like empathy, intuition, and vulnerability that define true leadership. AI can support and guide, but it's the human connection that drives real transformation in leadership. I also want to thank Boris Diekman for inviting us to the Chief Energy Officer podcast. It's been a fascinating conversation about how healing, empathy, and emotional intelligence can shape the future of leadership. As for book recommendations, I couldn't agree more with highlighting Chief Energy Officer and Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. These books provide powerful insights on how leaders can cultivate courage, vulnerability, and trust, which are at the heart of creating healthier, more human-centered organizations. For anyone listening, it's clear that leadership in the future will require an ongoing journey of growth, learning, and healing. It's about being courageous enough to be vulnerable, open enough to connect, and resilient enough to lead with both heart and mind. Thank you again, and I look forward to continuing this conversation in the future.